It's time for Wisconsin Life. This winter gave us the spectacular ice caves in the Apostle Islands, but ice can do more than just look beautiful. Musician Marlon Leadon rode his bike around the icy surface of Lake Superior, recording the sounds of the ice.
I grew up in Washburn, just a few blocks away from Schwamigan Bay on Lake Superior. As long as I can remember, that was where we always went as a family. And then once I was able to ride a bike, that's where every single bike trip, you know, led me, was to the lake. I really wanted to see more of the Apostle Islands. And at that point, I hadn't had any sort of boat. But at the time, I was living in the Twin Cities, and I was pretty involved with the bicycle scene down there. And the whole fat bike, the snow bike thing was just beginning. And that just kind of called to me. Was to get one of those bikes and just bike on the ice. The recording part came into play when a student from the Bayfield School came out with an article in the paper about there's starting to be less and less ice cover on Lake Superior every year. And this was based off of the records from the ferry line. And I've always been into music and audio and recording, and it was like, well, maybe I should record these ice sounds, because if ice is on the decline, there's lots of sounds that are just gonna disappear. We'll never hear them again. The lake drums, which is this incredibly loud, booming drum sound. That comes from the ice when it contracts and expands. Sometimes I'll be out there and there'll just be one loud crack and boom. And a lot of the sound comes from below the ice. But then there's other times, you know, when we're having cold nights and warm days, and the temperature change is pretty extreme, that, you know, as the sun is coming up or going down, it's like it's just constantly going on, this booming and cracking. It's like a fireworks show, but there's no fireworks. I saw quite a few ice fishermen out in the islands, but I only talked to maybe three people the whole time. And I just mentioned to them what I was doing, what I was kind of like, sort of like ice fishing for sounds, you know. And they thought I was crazy. Everything's always moving when you're out there. It's like nonstop. And so even when you don't hear anything, if you put headphones on and drop the microphone, the hydrophone through the ice, there's going to be sounds galore. And so there was this crackling sound, and then there was these bubbling sounds, which came from these ice caves that were right on the edges of some of the islands. Most people were just shocked at like how loud this sound really was, and how it sounds a lot like a drum, so it's really easy to relate to the sound because it's almost familiar.
This episode is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org or search Wisconsin Life on Facebook.
Well, between the sights and sounds, it's been a busy winter for Lake Superior, and who better to talk about what's happening up on Lake Superior than WPR's own Mike Simonson. He's been up there looking at the ice, talking about the ice caves, a lot happening in the very tippy top of the state. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's been, icy roads, icy lake, icy caves, icy everything.
So ice breaking, they're opening up the lakes to shipping, or at least the official open date is upon us. How realistic is it to get ships out there on Lake Superior?
Well, the Soot Locks are going to open a few days later than scheduled because this ice is as thick as it's been, well, one of the old timers told me, in a quarter of a century or longer. In fact, wow. I think he said it's the thickest he's ever seen, and he's been in the business for almost half a century. He's a 70-year-old who runs a couple of the tugs in the Duluth Superior Harbor, and he said that just to get his tug free from the ice so he could start breaking ice, they had to use chainsaws and axes on the ice.
Wow. Do we have any word yet whether this is, in fact, a record year for the ice depth?
The Coast Guard says it's the heaviest in a quarter of a century. The and one of the traffic guys who schedules the icebreaker, he's been doing it for almost 25 years. He says this is the thickest he's ever seen. But in the harbors, it's the thickest as anywhere because, you know, it's a smaller area. So Duluth Superior is finding 4 to 5 feet thick ice. Lake Superior, though, has spots where it's also 3 to 4 feet deep. And so, I mean, we're talking about having ice out there in June.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something. Well, we were hearing through the winter about the big economic boon that the ice caves are bringing to some places. I imagine this is a big economic worry for a lot of business up there if the ice doesn't let them get shipping as soon as they're ready to.
Yeah, it's the ships have already started leaving the Duluth Superior port. I think 3 left over the weekend. They're going to Two Harbors to get ore, and then there are going to be 3 Coast Guard ice cutters escorting them down to the Sioux Locks. So the ore is going to move. It's going to start slowly, but usually these things they can catch up on on the loads and make up for lost time if it doesn't, you know, go on too much longer. But, you know, last weekend it was below zero up here at night.
And what about the tourist trade? If there is ice on the lakes until June and chilly temperatures, is that going to slow down the tourist season? Well, it was a booming winter season. Is that going to impact, do you think, the spring end of things?
Well, that's interesting because even though there was a plethora of snow and ski hills opened early because this all hit around Thanksgiving and stuck with us because it was, you know, so cold. But because it was so cold, snowmobilers and skiers couldn't get out there on so many days. You know, when you've got a 30, 40 below zero wind chill, you know, it's not a whole lot of fun to be outside at all. So it turned out not to be a bad year, but it turned out to be an average year, even though it was an above average snow winter. So, you know, as far as the Memorial Day is when the tourism season starts, but it really kicks off July 4th. So I think the concern would be for the fishing opener in May. And last year, you might remember, there was a snowstorm, I think, the day before, and they had to use ice augers to, you know, get through the lake and to drop a line.
So May is not supposed to be ice fishing season, even on Lake Superior.
Right. So, you know, that definitely could be a factor with fishing and with tourism from that standpoint.
Anything that we should know about how the wildlife, you think, will react to the late spring? I'm just wondering if the bears are going to come out of hibernation and be, you know, extra hungry because of this winter, and whether there are any problems that you're foreseeing.
I don't think bears can get any hungrier than they are when they get out of their hibernation. But I did see up here our first Canadian geese over the weekend. That was really nice, but I don't know where they're going to go because everything is frozen over. So maybe they found a few ponds where there's an outtake of water or something. But yeah, the birds, everything's going to be late this year.
You mentioned that there were icebreakers going with those 3 ships that have already left. How many icebreakers get out in the Duluth Superior area when they're really going full bore there?
Well, I think we're talking about 3 regular ice cutters. We're talking about a couple of private ice cutters. I don't know what Thunder Bay in Canada has. I'm sure the Canadian cutters will be out there as well. I'm trying to remember all the names of them. They're rather exotic, like Katmai Bay or something like that. They're going to be as busy as they've been when they were ending the season, because you remember that the season goes till January 15th and then ships have to dock. So they were working steady since early December when the first storms and cold hit. And usually they don't have to work that steady. So they work, really hard right up until late January, and then they started in early March. So I'm sure you've ridden on an icebreaker or two, but it's really a jarring experience.
I have not. What does it feel like to be out there breaking through the ice?
I've been out once, not this year. Our student intern, I sent him out there, and he called from on board the Alder, the cutter Alder, and he said, "This is an unbelievable experience. It is loud, and it is crunching, and the hulls go up on the ice, settle on it, and then it crushes the ice and it moves another few feet, And he said a few times they got stuck and they had to drop something with like 1,800-ton bricks on the side of the boat to free the boat on either side so it could back up and get going again. It was quite an effort.
So how does the icebreaker actually work? You said it kind of heaves up onto the ice and then it crushes it beneath. Are there moving gears beneath kind of grinding it? Or
no, but the hulls are reinforced. I couldn't tell you how thick, but, you know, they're made to do this kind of thing. And, in fact, the ore carriers themselves, the ore boats, have reinforced tugs or hulls. So they can in themselves break ice. But usually what happens is the hulls of the ore boats just plain stop, and then the cutters have to come in and cut the ice in front of them and just kind of do a circle around the boat. Mm-hmm. When I was out there that one time, they did have to rescue a 1,000-footer, and that was something to watch.
Does all this ice, this unusual amount of ice, make things more dangerous for the ore freighters or for the icebreakers themselves, for that matter?
No, I think everybody's playing it smart. They know they're not going to make good time, and they're this is the first time I've heard that they're having three Coast Guard cutters escorting vessels across the lake, you know, from the west side to the east side. And I'm not even sure how long it's going to take, but it's got to take 3-4 times as long as it usually does. But I think everybody's playing it smart, and they realize this is just a very unusual ice pack.
Mike, last question. What are the locals saying about this winter? What kinds of things did you hear people saying?
Can't say that on the air. We'll lose I mean, to a T, everybody's complaining about it. You know, I had last week off, and people said, "How was your vacation?" I says, "I got a tan, I lost weight, and we had a half foot of snow." So,
wow. All right. Well, thank you for giving us the view from up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it was fun.
We've been talking to Mike Simonson, WPR's reporter based in Superior.